Can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
All righty, Aaron.
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Okay. Let's see, there's Alex and Stephen, David, John, Linda, Heather, Brad. Is that everybody? Yep. Alex, Lynn, and let's see. All right, that's it. Aaron, you ready?
Ready when you are, sir.
All right, and I'll call the meeting to order. And if y'all, I'll do the invocation. If y'all bow your heads with me, please. Dear Lord, just thank you for this day. Thank you for the many blessings you've given each one of us in the town of Stallings. We just give you all the praise and glory for everything you do. Protect our men and women that protect our town and protect our country. Just be with them tonight and protect them. Put your shield of armor around them. Everything we do and say, I give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. We got the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you for that flag, Aaron. All righty. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All righty. I'll call the meeting to order. We'll have our public comments. If anybody is on the call tonight that would like to have a public comment, Aaron will recognize you, and then you have, please state your name and your address, and you have 3 minutes to discuss anything. And then, does anybody wish to speak?
I have unmuted everyone, Mayor, so if anyone would like to speak.
I would, if there's opportunity.
All righty. Is this Gina Burke?
This is Miss Gina Burke. I just wanted to say, I know I wasn't hardly on the 5 o'clock meeting, but I wanted to just say thank you because I know how hard the town council is working, and I live in Shannamara. We know that Stinson Farm project is behind us, and it was just such great conversation tonight. So I just wanted to say thanks to the town council because I feel like that you're hearing some of the things that we've been saying, and I appreciate that so very much. And I know that development is going to happen behind our neighborhood. I'm just hoping for the right kind of development that works well for us, and commercialization that isn't going to fail, because it certainly seems like an economy where that's entirely possible these days. So I appreciate everybody's work for that. My only 2 cents for me being the small house on Anglesey Court is to make sure our little house doesn't have a road and some townhomes behind it, perhaps make sure that we're included in the single family home buffer. But we're just really happy with everything. So thanks for all the work y'all did tonight.
And Gina, what's your street address?
I'm at 5635.
And Anglesey, all righty.
Yeah, I'm in Anglesey. I'm on the small cul-de-sac there.
Right, all right, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? All righty. That'll wrap up public comment. And then we have our agenda approval. Is there any additions, deletions, or amendments? All right. If not, can I get a motion to approve it?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Scholl, seconded by Mr. Richardson. All in favor, just please say aye.
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 All opposed? Aye. All right, that's unanimous, Aaron. All righty. So we're down to our conditional zoning 20.07.01. Is Mac on?
Here, Mayor.
Oh, hey there. Hey, Mac. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
You can put in. All righty. Well, Lynn, go ahead and kick it off there.
Yes, at the last meeting, we held the public hearing for this item. which is a request for a Hindu temple to expand. They are currently, just to give you guys an overview so you all remember what we discussed last time, they are in existing use. They located on the property approximately 3 or 4 years ago. They built their first building there. When they located there, they were a use by right and on residentially zoned property. When we amended the ordinance in 2017, that changed. So when they came to us looking for a permit to expand, we required them to go through that conditional zoning process to bring them into compliance with our new ordinance. So that is why we were here this evening. So that is what they are looking to do. They are building a family life center. It's not a worship center, but because of the way the ordinance is written, the parking requirements fall under the parking standards for a church or a worship place of worship. So they are asking for a reduction in the number of parking spaces as well as part of this application. I do want to point out with the conditional zoning, they can ask for that. Sometimes with conditional zonings, we look at amending ordinance requirements, and we do approve those occasionally for things like density. Sometimes we'll increase that. We may change a setback requirement, and so parking falls within that realm, so they can ask for that. They currently only have 15 parking spaces on the site. They are asking to increase that, the original plan, by 23. The ordinance is currently written because they would have to provide one parking space for every 40 square feet of gross floor area where they could provide chairs that would move. Many churches these days don't have pews. They don't have permanent seats. So that's how our ordinance is written. So the parking standards are quite high. So after working with the applicant, talking through with them what their needs were, what their weekly attendance was, we felt like 50 to 60 parking spaces was a good compromise that we felt would meet their needs. I did want to point out we did contact the Stallings Police Department to check to make sure we hadn't received any complaints. They confirmed that they had not received any about speeding or parking in the last 12 months. We did receive some comments from Ms. Sandra Adcock, who's a neighbor of the site. I believe she had some concerns with those two issues, and the increase of square footage might impact the street that she lives on. So that's just a recap. And then our attorney, Mr. McCarley, also had some legal information that I believe that, since I believe Mr. Mayor Dunn, you weren't here at the last meeting, he may want to go over that again with the council as well.
All right, great. Go ahead, Mac, if you want to.
I was on mute, I apologize. Mayor, just briefly, there is a federal statute, RLUIPA, Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act of 2000, that gives protected status to religious land uses. Basically says you can't burden them substantially. You can't treat them any worse than you would treat any other use. And my analysis of this application is that to deny it would be a burden on them, and that they do have federally protected rights. My recommendation is that with the 50 space requirement that the planner is recommending, that you approve the rezoning.
Mackie, either got a burglar or that's your wife coming in the door.
I think that's my wife, yes.
All right, good. I just wanted to let you know. All right, thank you, Mac.
Yes, sir.
All right, is that it, Lynn and Mac? Is that y'all's, that's the extent?
Yes, sir.
Lynn, did you want to pull up some of the stuff that was in the agenda packet, the picture or?
Sure, I'd be happy to. We have the presentation that I presented at the public hearing. I believe Erin has that on her computer. She can pull that up.
Great.
And I'll be happy. Like I said, we went through this last time. I'd be happy to do it again if anybody would like to hear all of the information. I also have a copy. What might be helpful, Erin, is maybe if we scroll to the site plan, which I believe is on the one of the first three or four slides.
I'm good on all the details if you want, need some clarification.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm the same. I'd rather just look at the list of conditions suggested.
And Aaron, that is the, I believe it's the last slide, the approved conditions, the recommended conditions by planning board.
Sure. All right. Is that the one y'all were talking about, David, John?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Go, if you want to walk us through it, Lynn, real quick.
Just... Sure, I'd be glad to. the first condition that was recommended by staff and by the planning board is really just a very boilerplate condition that we put on all of our conditional zonings, just putting the applicant on alert that this rezoning does not preclude them from getting all the other required permits from the town, the county, and state agencies. So we're basically just saying they have to acquire all of those permits before they can actually begin construction on the site. The second is to allow a reduction in parking to permit 50 on-site parking spaces. Future parking needs as a result of expansion will be reviewed with any future building plans. The now third condition.
Can we go ahead and ask that question on that? Since that's the big you know, topic on this one for me. So I understand, you know, we come to a compromise on 50. What does the ordinance call for? Was it 170?
No, it was actually 286 total spaces.
Wow. 286.
And I didn't really go into a lot of detail in this, but one of the reasons we felt comfortable with the 50 spaces, well, there were a couple of reasons. One was the applicants, he said they have about 40 to 50 people attending their services weekly. They do hold 2 to 3 special events a year where they do need additional parking, but there's a lot of grassed area on the property where we could issue them a temporary use permit for overflow parking for those events. And that would serve two purposes. It would keep cars from parking on the street, and it would put the town and especially our police department on alert that a special event was happening there so they could patrol that area and make sure cars weren't parking on the street. But we felt like there was ample parking on the grass areas of the site to provide for those 2 or 3 events.
So, you know, in my mind, I thought I saw 170, but now 286 is certainly a large number. Going from 286 to 50 seems to be a bit of a more of a compromise by the town than it is them. I understand. I've talked with Mac before and I understand what he's talking about. We can't put a burden on them, but you know, I want everybody to be treated equally under the law. And so, you know, in my time on the council, we've never had a church come to us and ask for an expansion. So, you know, I don't know if Stallings United Methodist or Next Level has had to provide more parking or meet their ordinance requirement prior to them, you know, having their services. Probably not with Stallings United Methodist since they've been there so long. And Next Level certainly got plenty of parking. But, you know, I just want to make sure we're, you know, fair to everybody that's already built a piece of development that had to provide the necessary parking under the ordinance. So,
yes, sir. And I completely understand your sentiments. And you're correct. I've been with the town 14 years and we have not had a church or any other type of place of worship built in that time. I did want to point out one other point that I made at the last meeting was that our previous ordinance actually had parking standards as a maximum instead of a minimum. So in other words, if the requirement was 286, there is flexibility for them to reduce the parking. And one of the reasons we did that is because the town was interested in reducing impervious surface. And I think for so long, Highway 74 was seen as this sea of asphalt where you just had parking lot after parking lot. And we were trying to avoid that. That was not put in the new ordinance. So I just wanted to point that out, that we do have a history of wanting to encourage a decrease in parking for stormwater purposes. So I just wanted to make that point.
Now the 286 that the ordinance requires, that doesn't make a distinction between a religious building or versus any other building. It's just that's the ordinance?
That's for any type of church or place of worship. There's different standards that's based on use.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Lynn, you said there was no other church in built here, but I mean, at the other end of this, the lane, isn't there a new church that was just built?
Oh, I'm sorry. Good News Church. You are correct. It's under construction. They've been building that for a while. Yes. And I actually think that that one was permitted under our old ordinance. It's okay, taken them a while to get that one built. Yeah.
I was going to say, it looks like this building is going to be smaller, and yet that there's no way that they've got 200 and some parking spots at that place either. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
And I hope and Mayor Dunn, I hope I didn't misspeak. I had pulled up a presentation on my iPad just to review it before the meeting, and I was hoping I hadn't made some changes to those numbers, because if this report says 176, that's actually the accurate number. So I don't know if it's Nichols, if you can scroll back to a few slides where it talks about the parking spaces. I just want to make sure I'm telling you correctly. I don't know. Did you hear me, Aaron?
I'm sorry.
Maybe not.
No,
well, that's okay. I didn't know if you could scroll back a few slides to the slide that shows the parking standards. Okay, here we go. Actually, go back one more, and I think it might give us a number. Actually, this is 2, and keep going. Yeah, actually, this is good. It's actually 232 spaces. The 157 is for the proposed building, but combined, it's a little confusing. That original building would have had required 75 spaces, so combined total spaces, if all parking was required, would have been the 275, but it's 157 for this new building.
So 232, got it.
And you can go back to that condition slide, Aaron.
Lynn, can I pop in with a question?
Yes, sir.
Back to that last slide that was just up. It says something about one spot per every 4 seats.
Correct.
This isn't set up as a worship center. So this is a place that's going to have totally portable seating. Are you talking about the maximum fire department capacity that it could ever have if all the seats were up, or what do we, how is that defined there?
We just basically take this, it's basically the area. I believe in speaking with their engineer, we use the calculation based on the square footage of that building. And basically what that's saying is I don't have the requirement in front of me. I don't want to misspeak. One space for each 5 seats, and that's permanent seats, like if you have a pew, something that you can't move,
right.
But most churches nowadays have movable chairs,
right.
And it's for each 40 square feet of floor area available for movable seats. So we got that number, the 40, based on the square footage of the area that would be used or would be available for movable seats, and that's how we came up with that number.
All right. I mean, it sounds like there's two standards there, with one being a worship hall and one being a family whatever use hall that would have game nights for the kids or whatever, and might every once in a while have lots of seats. But anyhow, it's a moot point.
All right, we want to go back to the conditions, please. All right, Lynn, you want to finish up?
Yes, sir. And then the third condition is that any new structure built on the site will need to receive conditional zoning approval from the town. What that means is if they build any new buildings after the one that's being proposed, they have to come back and get approval through the conditional zoning process. The fourth is that a landscape plan showing compliance with Article 11 is provided in their plan set. Number five is that they adhere to the Type C buffer requirements for adjacent to remaining SFR zoning. That comes from Article 11.6. We just wanted to make sure that they were understood that they had to provide that buffer. Six would be all debris near dumpster area be removed. Seven is that metal shipping containers be removed from the property. These are currently on the property being used for storage. The new building will have adequate storage in it, so we just wanted to make sure they were removing those containers. And then the eighth condition is that all code violations, there were some violations that had to do with tall grass and debris on the site, that those would be addressed before we issue them a permit for construction. So those are the conditions that were recommended by staff and then reiterated by the planning board, and the planning board's recommendation was for approval.
Yeah, what was the vote on the planning board? Was it, do you remember?
It was it was unanimous.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
All righty, any questions for Lynn or Mac?
It was unanimous on the planning board before Mac even told us about the federal law.
Yeah, so any questions for either or any comments? All righty. Well, I'll just reiterate. I just think the town is, it's 232 is the ordinance. They got 15 spots and we're giving them 50 more when they should put in, a lot more. I think the town is, being very generous. So.
And I concur, but I agree with our town attorney that we brought in his expertise in land use and federal law that pretty obscure. We would have found that out. Melody might have, but we certainly need to know that before we were to put any limitation on him. So thank you, Mac.
Well,
yes, sir.
The burden is we can't put undue burden on them. Building more parking, I don't think is a burden. They just have to spend more money.
They expressed concern in the meeting we had 2 weeks ago that would be a financial burden for them.
They only have 50 parishioners. I mean, I know that the church that Heather and I used to go to and that Heather still goes to, I mean, we built one of these buildings and we probably had four times as many parishioners, and it took quite a long time to get the money just to build the building and the parking lots and whatnot. So I'm just wondering whether or not they're already kind of at their upper limit as it is. That would be my only, just based on what we went through with that building at our church.
But as I remember the council meeting, Councilmember Scholl asked them if they could go to 60, and their response was that they really didn't have the money to do that, that they might try to do it later, but they used all the right words to basically say it would be a burden on them.
All right, any other comments, questions? All right, I don't hear any. So I'll call.
I just have a quick comment.
Sure.
We had some residents from that neighborhood complain that they were parking on the street, and in this presentation it said that there was ample overflow parking in the grass, and I would just like to try and encourage them to that if there is plenty of parking in the grass that they try and use that. Because the neighborhood feels like they would like the cars off of the street.
And I don't know how we make that a condition other than.
I don't want to make it a condition. I thought maybe they were on here and we could just, ask nicely if there is extra parking in the grass. Do you please?
Is there anybody? That's a good point. Is anybody on the call from the temple?
Hello, this is Bob Spaulding with the Isaacs Group. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It does not look like someone from the church is on here. I tried to reach out and I haven't heard back. But to answer, is it Ms. Grooms?
Yes.
Question. They certainly do understand that that parking on the street is an issue, and I thought that there was something in here where they do have to get the a parking an overflow parking permit, correct? If they're going to have anything larger than their typical services, is that correct, Lynn?
Yes, it would be a temporary use permit for overflow parking would be required.
Right. So I think there's already something in place and that they do understand that they shouldn't be parking on the street.
Okay. I didn't know. Last time he was on the call, so I thought maybe we could just do a nice reminder that the neighbors would just like for them to use that overflow parking.
Right. And we did let, I thought they were going to be in here. I don't know if it's because they think that their part of the meeting started at 7:45 or what, because it's 7:30 now, but I will definitely let them know that.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Grooms.
Yes.
We need to be very careful about how we suggest this to them.
Uh-huh.
Because parking is lawful in a residential zone. So pushing them to not do something that is lawful is stepping in the trap.
Right. Yeah, I understand.
Should we, though, Mayor, can I comment? Yes, should we make add it a condition that they would get permits for special events that required additional parking? Because there's nothing in here about special events, I don't think, as one of the conditions. And maybe that's understood without making a condition, but if it's been a problem, maybe we should.
Ms. Hare, have you had conversations with the church about that?
About the overflow? We have had conversations about it in the past, yes. And like I said, the overflow parking temporary use permit is an ordinance requirement. They have come to us in the past and gotten permits for amplified sound because they were going to have some music during some of these special events. And we would just make sure that they were requiring that permit at that time. I just don't think then they were aware of it. I believe that that happened too right when the church opened. I think they had some sort of a grand opening celebration because after speaking with the police department, they have not received any complaint calls about parking on the street out there, at least in the last 12 months. So it's been a while.
All right. So since it's an ordinance, I don't think we need to make it a condition. Just make them aware of it, and which you have. So, all righty. Any other points, questions? All righty. I'll bring it up for a vote. What's the pleasure of the council?
I'd like to make the motion that we approve CZ20.07.01 with the conditions as listed here.
All right, motion by Mr. Scholl to approve the conditional zoning application.
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Paxton. Any further discussion? Lynn, could you do a roll call, please?
District 1.
Aaron, excuse me.
That's okay. District 1, Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Scholl.
Aye.
District 3, Paxton.
Aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
Aye.
District 6, Richardson.
Aye.
All right, that's unanimous, 6-0. And don't we have some consistency and reasonableness attached to this?
Yes, you do.
I saw it on the agenda, but
yes, there is one.
Can y'all bring it up for me? I didn't print it off. All righty. So we have this ordinance. First up, I'll read this. An ordinance amending the Stallings Development Ordinance of the Town of Stallings, North Carolina, whereas on February 26, 2018, the Town Council adopted the new Stallings Development Ordinance, and whereas approval of the requested conditional zoning to allow property located at 1006 Vicky Lane to allow for the expansion of an existing Hindu temple. The subject property is located on PID number 07126038 and is consistent with the 2017 Stallings land use plan. And whereas the proposed change in use will promote the goal of promoting a mix of housing density in the Monroe Bypass Corridor, and therefore the Town Council of the Town of Stallings do ordain the approval of the requested conditional zoning 20.07.01 to allow for the proposed expansion and use as a Hindu temple. This ordinance shall be effective immediately upon its adoption. So can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Is that Mr. Martin?
Yes, sir.
All right, motion by Mr. Martin to approve the ordinance.
Second.
Second by Mr. Shaw. Lynn, could you do a roll call, please?
Mr. Gwen Martin.
Aaron.
It's okay. Mr. Gwen Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Shaw.
Aye.
District 3, Paxton.
Aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
Aye.
District 6, Richardson.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes 6-0. Yes, unanimous. And then we have a statement of consistency and reasonableness under conditional zoning 20.07.01, a request for conditional zoning on the property located at 1006 Vicky Lane to allow for a Hindu temple to expand of the subject property where they exist as a legal non-conforming use. The subject property is located on PID number 07126038. The Stallings Town Council hereby finds that the proposed conditional zoning request is consistent with the 2017 Stallings Comprehensive Land Use Plan adopted November 27, 2017, based on consistency with goals and objectives set forth in the document for the creation of development that encouraged the creation of civic uses. At their August 10, 2020 meeting, the Stallings Town Council voted to recommend approval of the proposed conditional zoning and stated that we need to change that date.
Yes.
All right. So at their September 28th, 2020 meeting, the Stallings Town Council voted to recommend approval of the proposed conditional zoning and stated that the Town Council finds and determines that the rezoning is consistent with the key guiding principles, goals, and objectives of the Comprehensive Land Use Plan and hereby recommends its approval. All right. Any questions? Can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Shaw.
Second.
Second by Mr. Martin. And can I do one more roll call, please? Aaron.
District one, Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Shaw.
Aye.
District 3, Paxton.
Aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
Aye.
District 6, Richardson.
Aye.
All righty. Thank you all. Thank you, Mac and Lynn. All right, number three, open space, green space strategies opened by Mr. Martin and Lynn.
Lynn, would you mind sharing what you put together?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
Thank you.
All right. What I'm going to share with you all tonight is an open space report that basically looks at our current ordinances and it's an analysis of that. So next slide. Just to give you all a little bit of background, I believe it was in April, the council at a meeting discussed or expressed a goal of enhancing our current open space requirements. And they directed staff to look at our current ordinances and do an analysis of what kind of open space requirements we had and identify if we have any deficiencies. So that's what we are going to be talking about tonight. So next slide. So this analysis overview, before we get started, I just gonna want to give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about. I looked at all of the ordinances in order to basically understand all open space requirements. And when I say in order, what I mean is I'm talking about in order of priority. The first ordinance that I looked at was our comprehensive land use plan. The reason I started here is because that's really the foundation. That's the basis for all of our development ordinances. It's what all of them build off of. This is where our goals are established. So I wanted to look there to get an idea of what kind of goals the town had created around open space. Then I want to look at the development ordinance. I went there to look to see what our development ordinance standards are. I think this is where we all tend to, when we think about open space requirements, this is where we think they will all be. So that's the next place I wanted to look. I also wanted to look at our Parks, Recreation, and Green Space Master Plan, or Greenway Master Plan. This is a document that's all about open space. We created this. It's a policy document, but the town council has adopted it. And this is where we really emphasize open space and have the ability to acquire open space through this document. And then the last document I looked at was our post-construction stormwater ordinance. There are some requirements in there for things like stream buffers, well, specifically stream buffers, that are also open space. So I thought it was important that we needed to look there also. So the reason I looked at all these documents is I really want to give you all an idea of where we get all of our open space and point out that it doesn't just come from the development ordinance, even though that's a very important piece and we're going to talk a lot about that. We have many different ways of acquiring open space. And then the second thing I'll go over with is the identified deficiencies and recommendations. And then I just want to spend a few minutes talking about why this is such an important topic and why it has been established as a priority of the town. So next slide. So the first document that I stated we'd be looking at was our comprehensive land use plan. This is the granddaddy of planning documents. This is our most important planning document that we have. And we rewrote this document in 2017, adopted a new comp plan. We spent about 18 months working with our community through stakeholder groups, subcommittee groups, open houses, talking through what was important to them as a town. And open space was identified by through this process as a priority. There's also language in this document that supports pursuing the acquisition of open space. Next slide. It was so important to the town that there's actually an entire section of our comprehensive land use plan that talks about open space, recreation, and environment. There were a couple comments from that section that I just wanted to bring to your attention that kind of sum up how important open space is and how it relates to us as a town. But one comment was open space, recreational opportunities, and environmental conservation, that's a mouthful, play a critical role in the quality of life and health of Stallings residents. I think that's a really important statement, that the quality of life and the health of our residents is intertwined with our open space. And then again, another statement was made that as the demand for more flexible open space grows, resources within our town, within Stallings for acquiring that space are going to decrease, and that we need to come up with innovative strategies for providing usable open space for the town's residents. So we need to start thinking outside the box a little bit, but we as a town are growing, and as development pressures and our land gets developed, we're going to have less opportunity to acquire open space. So next slide. And then lastly, I'm sure all of you that are familiar with the Comprehensive Land Use Plan, the very front of that document, we have a list of what we call our key principles. And what these principles are is they're the overriding goals that they're what we base all our goals on for the document. And there's two of them that I think are very important. And I just want to point out to you as the council that placemaking and destination points are two key guiding principles that really are tied to open space. What placemaking is, it's a people-centered approach to planning, design, and the management of our public spaces. It's used to enhance community identity. It encourages social interaction, and it also helps facilitate economic development. When you develop safe, accessible, attractive streets, trails, parks, and open space, it helps to create a sense of community. One word that kept coming up through our comprehensive land use planning process was a lack of identity. And community. Residents that were involved in that process really felt like Stallings lacked an identity. Therefore, they lacked some sense of community. So placemaking and the use of trails, parks, and open space was identified as a way of helping us with those issues. And then finally, destination points. This is creating a reason for people to come to Stallings. We currently don't really have anything in our town that attracts people. Some people have museums, some people have soccer fields. But one of the things we identified for helping create a destination point in Stallings would be an amazing trail and park system. Council identified this. They realized that a greenway system as destination points was a priority. So they funded the creation of the Stallings Parks Recreation and Greenway Master Plan to help to provide a guide for its creation. So as you can see, even at our base level, our comprehensive plan, open space, placemaking, greenway trails, parks and rec were all identified as a priority in that document. The next slide. So again, the goals here from the comp plan were open space identity is a priority, placemaking and destination points through the acquisition of open space. So those are the priorities of that plan. Next slide. So the next document is our development ordinance. What our development ordinance does is it promotes the goals that were established by our comprehensive plan. When we created our comprehensive land use plan and our small area plans, the next step was to rewrite our development ordinance so that we could focus on the creation of walkable and more dense developments as shown in those small area plans. What the ordinance currently focuses a lot on is the creation of pocket parks that are located throughout projects rather than having a large area of open space, which may or may not be usable land. There was a goal of creating usable open space that would allow and give residents of areas places to gather, both in residential developments and commercial developments. So I wanted to point that out. Next slide. So our development ordinance has a whole article dedicated to open space. It's Article 21. It's not a very long article, actually. There's a table there that is the developer. If you come to the town of Stallings, you can go straight to it. And it shows you, okay, I'm doing a single family residential development. I have to provide 10% open space. And as you can see, it's got zoning district and it's got single family residential and then it's got all others. So it doesn't break it down by the different zoning districts. It just has those two listed. And one thing that's interesting about this table is that you'll notice under single family residential, it talks about single family and duplex developments having to provide 10% of the subject project site area for open space. And then interestingly, it says other residential and it's got a separate requirement there. But in SFR districts, there's no other residential allowed. So what happens is when we have a higher density project, like an apartment complex or a townhome project, it gets bumped to that all other districts. So that's why the apartment projects we've seen have only had 7.5% open space because they're zoned MU2. So I wanted to point that out. I think that's one of the things that started raising this question is why is that percentage so low? And I wanted to point out here that this is why. This is where that's coming from. Next slide. So another thing that's important about open space, and I really wanted to make this point because I think it's really important. And when I get to the end of my presentation, I think that this and our percentages, this is going to be one of the main things that comes out of it, is something that's important. But how is our open space calculated? Well, we have all these other ordinances that I mentioned at the beginning of my presentation that allow us to get open space. Such as parks and greenways, they can be counted towards open space. So that percentage we saw on the previous slide of 7.5% and 10% is not an addition to our Parks and Rec Master Plan. So in other words, if there's a greenway shown on a piece of property, that can count towards that 7.5% open space. The same is with natural and agricultural open spaces, which would be your stream buffers, which is what's gonna come from a post-construction ordinance. You can count 80% of open space as natural. So if you have a stream running through the middle of your project and it's in Goose Creek where you have huge stream buffers of 100 and 200 feet, you can count that towards 80% of your open space requirement. So I wanted to make that really clear. And then we also allowed stormwater detention up to 32% to be counted towards open space. But if you have an existing pond on the property, which we've had this happen recently, you can count that up to 80% of your open space requirement as long as it's left natural and the stormwater retention exceeds our minimum standards. So when Chris is reviewing the stormwater calculations, if that existing pond is going to provide for a better retention of water on that site, you can count that for up to 80% of your open space requirement. But there's another requirement in our ordinance that talks about open space and how it has to be planned, improved, and accessible. So what this means, what does improved mean? Well, it means whenever you have areas of improved open space, which would be things such as your pocket parks, which if you are providing natural open space and you have 80% counted towards that, your other 20% would have to be improved open space. But you have to clear it, you have to provide access to it, and then it has to contain one of four or more of the following elements, which is landscaping, walls, fences, walks, statues, fountains, demarked ball fields, and our playground equipment. That's all that's in the list. So I wanted to point that out too, that these are the only things called out as improvements that we would require. So that's improved open space. So next slide. So again, I want to point out, the point I'm trying to make is that open space percentages as shown in Article 21 are a minimum requirement and can be met by providing identified parks and or greenway trails, identified streams, and stormwater facilities can be counted towards that percentage. Next slide. So in summary, our development ordinance, the goal is that open space support the goals of the Comprehensive Land Use Plan, that open space is to be used to promote placemaking, and that the open space is 10% for single-family residential and 7.5% for all other zoning districts. So I wanted to point that out, that those were the reasons and the goals behind why it is written the way it is. Next slide. All right, the third document, and this is the more fun one to talk about. The development ordinance can be a little bit dry, but our Parks, Recreation, and Greenway Master Plan, as I stated, was something that council decided to create, and I think our plan is really good. We have a good plan for how we're going to provide these offerings to our residents. It focuses on providing open space through the creation of parks and trails. Next slide. One of the things, or really what I wanted to point out to you all, is what kind of open space are we going to get from this plan? Because this is really where a lot of our open space is going to come from. So I broke it down by use. The plan has greenways, it has parks, and it also takes into account private open space. So in terms of greenways, what are we talking about in terms of acres here? Well, there's 30.8 miles of greenway shown in that plan. If we average that, say the average trail is 12 feet in width, because it talks about trails that are between 10 and 14 feet. That would be 44 acres just in greenways that we would acquire. And then parks, it's got 67 acres of parks. I do want to point out that does include our Stallings and Blair Mill parks, which are existing. That makes up 33.5 acres of that land. So we're talking about acquiring an additional 34 acres through park, or 34 acres towards park land. And then private open space is shown on here. What that includes is our golf courses. We have two golf courses in town, Emerald Lake and the Divide. And then we also have HOA amenities. We have some subdivisions. We have lots of subdivisions that have, you know, a pool or a swim tennis. And Callenwood's a good example of one that actually has a park. I think there's a baseball field that was built as part of that development. But all of this is counted towards open space acreage. This is property that either exists and that will, you know, remain recreational in perpetuity. And then we also have these greenways and parks identified that we will start to acquire and already have as part of our entitlement process. So I wanted to point out that's about 218 acres roughly. And there at the top of the page, one thing I thought was really interesting and I wanted to show you all is that the town's around 2,240 acres. This master plan, includes basically that number's 10% of our total town acreage. So if we, once we acquire all the greenways, parks, in addition to what we already have, we're looking at having about 10% of our land in the town as open space. Next slide. So the goals here, provide a plan to guide the development of parks and greenway trails and to create the promotion of destination points, because we see our parks and recreation system and greenway system is a destination. As that thing begins to build out, we have no doubt that it will be spectacular and people will come into Stallings from outside, but our residents also, it's something that will, you know, they can take great pride in and enjoy with their families as well. Next slide. So finally, the fourth ordinance I want to talk about is our post-construction stormwater ordinance. This is in our town engineer's arena. This is what he looks at when development comes in to make sure that they're meeting our stormwater requirements. A part of that ordinance says that where streams exist on property, there's buffers that are required. These buffers are actually set by the state. This is not something that the town did. This is something that the state requires. Goose Creek and Six Mile have some pretty restrictive stream buffers. As you can see, it's 200 feet within a 100-year floodplain and 100 outside. What that means is on 200 feet of each side of that stream, you cannot develop anything. It has to remain untouched. If it's outside the floodplain, it's 100 feet. But those are very wide stream buffers at Goose Creek and Six Mile. 12 Mile and Crooked are 30 feet. But that is property that will always remain as open space because of this requirement. But again, I want to point out where streams exist on property, the open space requirement can be met by providing these buffers. Next slide. The goal, what's the goal of this ordinance? It's to promote the reduction of stormwater runoff and water quality, is to promote the protection of streams and natural resources through buffering, and also it creates natural open space. So next slide. So what are our recommendations? What did we identify as deficiencies and what do we need to possibly look at changing? And the main thing I think that we really need to focus our efforts on after looking through all of these ordinances is Article 21 of our development ordinances. Our development ordinance, excuse me. Currently, the percentages there, they do seem a bit low because they are, they're the maximum. Even though we have all these other ordinances that we get open space from, that 7.5% in the MU2 district, for example, is all they would have to provide. I have to say most developers do go above that, especially where there's an opportunity for them to do so through stream buffers or floodplain, that type of thing. But I think we need to look at changing that article, increasing those percentages based on zoning district rather than just having SFR and all others. Let's list each zoning district and decide what percentage that we think works there. We need to establish percentages of parks, greenways, stream buffers, and floodplain that we want to use towards open space. We can set that number. We can set our percentage, say, for example, for single-family residential, if we want to leave it at 10%, we can say, but you can only count that floodplain towards 30% of your open space requirement. So I think that's something we might want to consider and look at. And then look at those open space improvements. Right now, there's that list of very specific things. Maybe look at that from a zoning district perspective as well, because there might be some improvements that work really well in single family subdivisions that may not work as well in, say, an industrial area or an office park. So you know, you may want to include things such as, you know, I don't know, we may want to look at that to see what works best based on the use. So that's something I think that we could definitely do a better job of. And then in areas where natural open space is used towards meeting that minimum requirement, I think that it is important that we require, maybe look at requiring a different percentage be used towards improved open space. I touched on that already a little bit. I'm sort of saying the same thing there, but just make sure that those percentages are balanced. I think looking at improved open space, making sure that, you know, it's what's appropriate to the zoning district is important. And then I think tying the Parks, Recreation, and Greenway Master Plan to the development ordinance is important. We don't reference that document in there now. We don't really necessarily have to. We can still, because it's a policy that council adopted, acquire these improvements through the conditional zoning, the development agreement, as well as our permitting process. But I think it would just give it a little bit more teeth. I think it would be wise just to add that in Article 21. So that's what I'd really recommend, is that we really focus our efforts on rewriting that article. And I think we could have something that really, really worked well for us and that we would be happy with as a town and the council would be happy with. Number two is just to continue acquiring that greenway and parkland through the CZ, the DA, and the permitting process. I was thinking one thing that would be a really good exercise to do is to bring to you all the number of acres we have acquired in greenway. We haven't acquired a park yet, but I have a feeling we will soon. But we have acquired some good greenway trails. So I'd like to show that to you all. I thought about that this afternoon. I wish I had included that in this presentation, but I really think it would be a neat exercise for us to look at that and see, well, what have we acquired and how are we doing? And then this is just something I think we can do in-house, more of just a PR thing, but also just to really emphasize to the development community how important this is to the town. By creating an open space brochure and checklist for our developers that outline what our requirements are, the avenues for providing open space, and emphasizing just the importance of this resource. I think these are all things that would help us in acquiring the type of open space and the amount of open space we'd like to see, as well as working with the development community on making sure that they're providing that as well. Next slide. And last slide. So I just wanted to touch on for a minute, you know, why open space? Why is this so important? And I touched on it very briefly, but in a growing community like Stallings, it's very important to find a balance between those development pressures and land preservation. So what are the advantages of open space? Why is this so important? I think the first one is because this is an issue that we as a town deal with a lot, and it's stormwater runoff. Impervious surfaces created by development need to be balanced with open space, and so that we can reduce the amount and the volume of surface runoff and prevent infiltration of rainfall into the soil, basically in getting into our creeks and our drinking water. So that's one of the most important reasons why it's important. And then just preserving green space, creating an urban wildlife habitat island. When development occurs, it tends to push wildlife further out. And I think if we can create a system of open space in our town, it will allow the wildlife to continue to live here. And I think that's something that's important and that we should promote. And then preserving open space for recreation and promoting the health and the well-being of our residents is important. And then increasing open space can increase future property values. There have been studies that have been done that show in communities that have a greenway system, property values increase. So I think that that would be a great benefit to our residents. And then creating that sense of community and place, and then bringing character, charm, and definition to neighborhoods. I think open space do these things, these last two things. And I also think those basically help to promote those key guiding principles of placemaking and destination points that we touched on at the beginning of the presentation that are part of our current plan. So that's the end of my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions. I know it was a lot of information, but I really just wanted to show you all what we have the ability of acquiring currently. And I think it's more than we thought when you just look at that 7.5%, but I do think we need to work on those percentages.
Thank you, Lynn. So any questions for Lynn?
No, I'll just say that was very comprehensive and well done. And I know, John, you are championing this as well. So thank you for all your work. I guess my question is next steps. It sounds like there's a recommendation on the floor. So are we voting on that tonight? Is that what staff is recommending?
We can vote on a next step. My next step would be that we send it to the Park and Rec Committee and let them review with Lynn everything that she's gone over. You know, this has to do with parkland, open space, greenways, stuff that the Park and Rec Committee, you know.
How does it fit in the Park Master Plan, which we already have and spent money on doing that?
Yeah.
I think there's overlap between Parks and Rec planning and council. would the council be open to maybe a subcommittee over the next month of members from each of those groups getting together and maybe putting some numbers around it? Because it is a lot of info, and there's going to be a lot of folks in the community that will be interested around it.
Well, I don't think we need to rush it then if it's a lot of info. And given the COVID situation as well, it's like, let's do it right and do it with the community input. Lynn, you mentioned a couple of things about some numbers that caught my attention. Maybe it's because they were golf related, but you said that the total of two golf courses, about 105 acres total.
That wasn't just golf courses. That was all private open space. It was identified because there are communities, like Callenwood's a good example, that has a park. And then there's other neighborhoods. I think Fairfield Plantation has a pretty large park as well. So that wasn't just golf, the two golf courses.
If you could back it up, I'll show you what I'm pointing at, because I can't recall exactly what it said. There.
Right there. Yeah.
Private open space, 106.57 acres is what we have currently?
Correct.
The average golf course, an 18-hole golf course average, is 150 acres, and we have two of those golf courses. How accurate is that number?
I don't know. That came straight from the plan, from our Parks and Greenway Master Plan. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe that didn't include the golf courses.
Maybe we made a mistake in the plan, because that really struck me when I saw that. I'm like, that can't possibly be right.
Yeah,
okay. I'll be back in a second. I can go back and check that, because it may have just been applying to HOA amenity property. It may not have included those, because aren't those public golf courses too?
Yes, they are.
Yep.
So maybe that was just an assumption on my part. But I'll be happy to double check that.
And you've made a comment, again, it was golf related, so caught my attention, that there's nothing really in town that people to Stallings outside this area almost every day. So yeah, there's those two golf courses. While we kind of don't think much of them, I think they're huge assets. Not only are they green space, but they bring people into the town. And they spend their money and do things here that they wouldn't be here otherwise.
Yeah, no offense. I'm not a golfer. So completely understand. I see exactly where you're coming from. I wasn't trying to slide the golf courses. I think they're an awesome attribute to Stallings. But yeah,
as small as we are, we have two good ones. And since the Divide finished their new greens, they're pretty darn good now. So yeah.
So here's where I, Mayor, may I ask a question?
Sure.
But I'll make a statement, I guess, less of a question. So as I look at the comprehensive nature of all of this, and then I look at the recommendations, and then I think we've got a further step of involving a subcommittee of stakeholder citizen committees. Here's a concern I have. This is a fantastic agenda item and a critical issue to our community, no doubt. So don't take anything I say next as diminishing this at all. But I also want to point out that one of the top council priorities from our March retreat was, and I talked to Alex about this briefly, not enough, but working on our downtown strategy. My question would be to Alex, Lynn, and is the amount of time and coordination this takes with Lynn's time, staff time in particular, is there an opportunity to use a local resource like the Central Carolina Council of Governments or a third party to kind of facilitate this? This is critical. So I don't want to diminish it, John, particularly, but also don't want to, this feels like it ties Lynn up for the next 90 days, 120 days or more. And there are also some things we also want to start doing. So help me out with that, Alex, or and maybe your action, John, since this is sort of a great idea on your part.
No concerns. I think, to what David said earlier, I think getting this right is important. There does need to be a speed element, just given all the new applications keep rolling in. But I wouldn't have any concerns if the council is willing to bring in an outside third party to help us with this. And I think there's a good return on investment there.
And just to dovetail on what Brad said, Alex called me today and asked me my opinion. Linda can attest to this. We've been talking about downtown redevelopment for over 10 years. It's been on the council's agenda for a long time. So now that we got a little momentum with the development downtown committee meeting and got Brad's expertise, you know, I'd like that to take priority. And if we have to go to the COG, so be it.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Alex here. First of all, I want to recognize Director Arrow. What a great presentation.
Yeah.
Everyone really agreed, hey, let's figure out a way we can enhance our open space requirements. What does that look like? How do we do that? I think it's tempting just to shoot from the hip. And I think what Ms. Hare has done is really gone back, looked at our land use plans that we've adopted as guide, and really done a great job of creating a great path and logical approach to this. I concur that this will be a significant time commitment from a staff perspective on this. And obviously the creating a downtown is an important issue to the council. It's one of the top priorities. We can absolutely do both. It's just a matter of being willing to spend money to outsource some of this work. The way, you know, I think on a staff level, we had envisioned kind of the next steps was really to have council kind of give some feedback and direction on kind of maybe what the percentages would like to be and kind of some direction on that. If we're not ready to give that, we want to have perhaps more public input in addition to the public input that's already been done for our land use plans and the Greenway master plan. You know, we could do that. It would just probably extend the time frame out of completion and also probably cost more money to outsource out. So in conclusion, we can do both. It's just a matter of identifying what we want to do and then being willing to commit. So if we're willing to outsource it out, the next steps might be for us to hear a little bit more about the direction of y'all like to move in. And then secondly, to ask staff to get some pricing for outsourcing now.
If I may, would it be appropriate, would the council be willing to maybe chew on this for the next 2 weeks and then come back with either suggestions on numbers or suggestion to bring a larger group of people into to helping with this?
Concur. There's a lot to think about.
That'll be fine. Sounds good. Aaron, if you could put it on the agenda for the next council meeting.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask one question?
Sure can.
Hey John, real quick. I know this came up in April. Do you remember what the kind of the triggering point was, if you might?
Yeah, I think we'd noticed like some of these multi-use developments were coming in and some of the higher density and just the amount of green space wasn't quite where we were thinking. You know, we want these things to kind of blend into some of the existing communities. And on a few of them, I think they stuck out a bit more. So, you know, my background is in an area that grew up with pretty healthy buffers and pretty healthy green space requirements. So even the commercial office parks were served in the evenings as gathering spaces for the community, just because of all the green space built into them. So I was kind of looking to, you know, start moving to something closer to that, as well as other members of the community had strongly expressed some concerns, just how much we're cutting down some of the old growth forest around us. So,
okay. I appreciate it. I just wanted a refresher on the frame of reference. Thanks, man.
All righty. We got a suggestion that we chew on this for a couple of weeks, bring back suggestions to staff and some numbers. So anybody have any issue with that?
No.
Mayor, just so we're clear on the staff perspective, from a staff perspective, we're just going to hold tight. We're going to table the item, give council time, and then our next council meeting, council might be ready to give some direction after mulling it over. Is that correct?
Yeah, and then go ahead and contact COG and, you know, get a price from them on, you know, if you can frame up what you're looking for, get a ballpark price.
We'll start that work. I guess, you know, it'll depend largely on whether we want a public input part of that process. But we can start the first conversations with the COG and maybe have some general numbers for the council to consider at the next meeting. Mayor, you know, we've in the past, we've said, all right, we're going to try to move planning items to the second meeting of the month. I just wanted to make sure that that was still the general direction we wanted to do, go forward, just so I can plan.
Well, that's a good point. I don't think this is going to take that long at the next meeting. So let's just leave it at the next meeting.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks. All righty. Next up, number four, balance scorecard. Alex, you're up.
Thank you, Mayor Dunn. I appreciate it. Can everybody see the screen that says forward Stallings on it? Great. So for this agenda item, what I'm planning to do is to first to give a brief background on the balanced scorecard. Some might not be familiar with it, especially in the context of the Stallings, to go over the 1920 fiscal year balanced scorecard. The actual scorecard itself, not hitting everything hours, but hitting some of the highlights. And then finally, making a recommendation for a couple policy changes and approaches. This is our first year. We've had some lessons learned, and it'd be a good opportunity to take stock, and we've got some ideas. So first thing first, the balanced scorecard. So local government as a whole, it can be messy, and in a way, that's a good thing. Because democracy can be messy, and it's important to let everybody come to the table, have conversations, and provide their input. And while that's a good thing, it can be challenging sometimes from just aligning our goals and generally getting things done. We've got 7 elected officials. You've got a town manager, staff, a variety of partners. So the idea behind the balanced scorecard is we're taking all those different moving parts, mission, the council's top priorities, for departmental actions, performance measures, and we're putting that all together strategically, and we're focusing our resources behind achieving the things that we want to achieve. So in essence, the annual report is both really a report card and a strategic learning tool. And what I mean by that is it's not a gotcha tool. It's not a tool to assign blame. It's a tool to kind of spur conversation and collaboration where we can still accomplish the council's priorities. Y'all can know they're getting done and work towards. At the same time, we can empower our staff to set goals within their department to improve things. So with that being said, we started this, I think, in 2018. This is our first year for 1920. And this is the annual report. So that's the kind of balanced scorecard in a nutshell. Are there any questions or concerns on that? And if not, my next would be the 19th to go over the actual scorecard itself. Okay. Seeing none, I'll move on. So what you're looking at is the balanced scorecard for the administration department. You'll see there's one for every department in town. And just as you can see, there's a lot of different measures and ideas and scores. And again, it'd be hours for us to go over all this tonight. And I think if I did that, y'all wouldn't let me come back tomorrow. So I'm going to go over just some of the highlights. For example, fiscal responsibility was a council priority, and the goal we set there was to adopt a balanced budget that did not use any fund balance or debt for regular non-capital operational expenditures. We achieved that. A second goal that we set was we wanted to secure an occupancy tax. We still got some timeline left on that, but this is where we're at on that. So before the pandemic, our elected officials said that they were going to discuss it at the upcoming short session. The pandemic happened, so our elected officials, and when I say elected officials, I mean state elected officials, said that the General Assembly was preoccupied with COVID-related issues, and so they didn't get to that, so they're willing to revisit that in the future. So that's where we're at with that, those particular items. Another one was we wanted to develop and present a study to council, a parade feasibility study. We did that. And then a final one was we wanted to hold a Citizens Academy, and we did that. We recognize Mayor Pro Tem Paxton for taking the lead on that. So next department is engineering. This is a real logical department to apply the balanced scorecard, very numbers oriented, so that was really good. First goal, we wanted to implement the Greenway Master Plan. We executed a design contract, and that's what we're working on right now with the Vickery leg of the design of the Greenway, so that goal was achieved. The percentage of sidewalk, just hit a couple of highlights, percentage of sidewalk deficiencies identified and reduced in a year. We set a goal of 5, we hit 6, so good job there. Paving, we're setting, based on engineering standards, a level of quality for our roads, and now everything is above that 40% number, which is the threshold for what's failing on the engineering scale. It doesn't mean it's going to fall apart, it's dangerous, it's just the level that's the lowest. So, and we're going to continue to set goals to continue to increase the stability and the quality of roads in town. So good job there. We were not able to do the 20% of the storm drain infrastructure proactive cleaning this year. The pandemic slowed our response to that. That was the first time we've done that. And so it took a while to kind of get the documents and everything together, but we've got that all together. That won't happen again. We swept all the streets this year. That was good. And those are some of the big ones from the engineering department. Finance department, we submitted our CAFR. We got that. We received the GFO Excellence in Financial Reporting Award. That's good. The big goal for the council, you can see it. It's highlighted in green here. We wanted to develop and maintain a 5-year financial plan. We developed a draft. We presented it to the board. We talked about it over several meetings. We kind of got the impression that the board didn't like what we had come up with, so we're going to bring it back, make some tweaks based on the feedback we heard, and try to bring that back in Q4 of 2020. And we really revisit that conversation so we could get a 5-year financial plan that we feel like the board's happy with. That's everything for finance. Parks and Rec, they did a really good job with their scorecard. Whole host of things, nothing touching on really direct council priorities, but I'll just hit a couple of them. Parking for major events. They wanted to come up with various options, and we were able to achieve that. You know, shuttle services that you would have seen, for example, if we had had Stallings Fest. So they did a good job working through that. So that's parks. Did a variety of things. Special events, emergency contingency plan, did that. I'm speeding through this on purpose to make efficient use of our time. You know, if you've got any questions or concerns, please interrupt me or contact me afterwards. So for planning and zoning, they created a litter sweep program. That's awesome. We're part of a TOD grant for the Silver Line. We originally set a goal of having that in place by June 30th, 2020. As we now know, that estimated timeline, that was comparable. So we're going to need to revisit that and push that date back. Another thing we looked at is we wanted to explore doing a public-private partnership for 314 Stallings Road, which is the road across the street from Town Hall beside our parking lot. And what we learned is a couple things. One, we feel like we need to go through the downtown process first before we really do a public-private partnership. It's really the cart before the horse doing that. We need to decide what we want to be and put some of these plans and do some of the things we're going to talk about in the near future with the council that we talked about with the downtown committee before we go that route. And also in talking with some development partners, We learned that that piece of property is probably too a little bit small to do a public-private partnership on that independently. We might have to take out the tennis courts. That cause a whole host of issues. A, do we want to do that? And B, we use grant money to fund that. That creates some restrictions that aren't impossible to get through, but they're very, very difficult. Another measure I wanted to point out was this one. I think of all the measures I looked at as a town, this was the single measure that impressed me the most. This is the percentage of violations brought into voluntary compliance within 60 days. We looked at how various towns had done that, the numbers they used, and we set the goal at 65%. We thought that was a good goal. It was a challenging one. And our code enforcement and planning department really knocked our socks off with 95% about of that, which is absolutely incredible. So hats off to Colleen and Lynn for that. When you see that kind of number, you think, well, is something wrong? Are they not doing something right? Are they like just bulldozing people over to hit that number? And that's not the case. You'll see recently, for example, the recent, I think it's over, forget the street, but it's the lien issue that I brought to your attention. Colleen worked with those folks for about 18 months to try to get that right before we brought it up with the lien issue. So super impressive number right there. I want to recognize them for that. Police, two things I want to bring to your attention was we wanted to increase roadway safety and decrease congestion, and we set a goal for decreasing accidents from 2018 calendar year to 2019 by 20%. Even though we didn't meet that number, I think this is a roaring success. What we've learned is that to hit that 20% number, it would probably require us to create a specialty traffic unit, which would be, you know, more money, and I don't know if that's a good fit for a place our size right now. But even with the resources we've got, it reduced traffic accidents from 2018 to 2019 by 8.5%. That's a big deal. That's a lot. So hats off to our police department for that. Also, we were hoping to do the league's risk review process and reduce insurance costs by about 14%. Once we got into that, what we learned is that it was going to be a lot more work than we thought, and we're going to have to overhaul all our policies to do that, which, thanks to Chief Frank's leadership, we're in the process of doing right now, thanks to y'all supporting the training support that y'all approved and our move towards CALEA accreditation. We're going to get that. It's just probably going to be next year by the time we get there. And then finally, public work. They were able to repair small potholes within 3 business days of requests. That's a really cool thing. Potholes are minor, but that's the kind of thing that all of us see, and it frustrates us. So to me, that kind of responsiveness is really neat. And then the second thing I wanted to bring to your attention is we've started every driving through and inspecting every neighborhood 4 times a year, once every quarter, just to see if we can proactively find issues that need to be addressed before we have citizens calling and complaining about it. So for a 2-person department, I think that's pretty impressive, in addition to everything else, mowing, right-of-ways, maintenance, groundskeeping. I think that's real cool. So that is it for the scorecard. I know that's a lot of information. I don't expect you to synthesize it. Just wanted to put that in perspective, share it with the board, hit some highlights, and then see if there are any questions or concerns. If they're not, then I would go back to the suggestions that on the staff level we would have moving forward for our balanced scorecard.
Well, Alex, I can say, you know, being on the council since 05, this is something that the council has asked for a long time. And you've done a great job of organizing what y'all are doing on not on a monthly basis, but on a daily basis. And so I certainly appreciate y'all, you and your staff, taking the time to provide us with all these details.
Thank you, Mayor. All the credit goes to our staff for being willing to accept this and work with it with a great attitude, and also the board for be willing to support this. To know your priorities are being pursued, at the same time you've empowered the staff to kind of think about all the little things that y'all don't see on a day-to-day basis, and those kind of things can have real positive improvements. So appreciate that very much.
All right. So any questions for Alex or any of the staff?
I have a question, Mayor. With regard to the reduction in accidents with the police department's goal of 20%, and you said they achieved 8.5%, what specifically were the strategies they were using to try to reduce accidents in town?
Sure. Chief Franks, could you handle that one for me?
Absolutely. So we have two officers that measure our accident, our traffic numbers every month. And so what they would do, they would put that information out and they would focus on those areas where we saw a higher number of accidents. They could direct patrols in that area during a certain time frame. That was just, I guess that would be the primary effort of that past year that they did, was just looking at the numbers and trying to have more visibility in those areas in efforts to reduce traffic crash numbers.
And great question, Ms. Paxton. And one thing I would add to that is that's a number from 2018 to 2019. So that doesn't include the pandemic numbers. If I came to you and said, hey, it's a good thing we reduced it from 2019 to 2020, y'all should look at me funny, because obviously that would take into account the pandemic and traffic's gone down since then. So
I can chime one other piece there. That's the overall reduction, 8.5, but our reduction of personal injury accidents in that time frame was 13%. But our overall reduction was 8.5.
Great. Thank you, Franks. And if there are no other questions, I wanted to bring up the two brief things that staff saw that we think could improve it moving forward. Big picture.
Can I ask a couple of questions real quick? When y'all build the spreadsheet there that you have, I mean, is that something that you're tracking over time, or is that something that y'all put together kind of each quarter or each year? I guess what I'm wondering is, do you have a plan that you're working towards each of those goals, or do you kind of put that together at the end?
So there's a part for in the spreadsheet, and one part of that is there's an action plan in there, and that's okay, so that the department head can, if he or she sees fit, type up something. Some of the things, it's almost obvious what you got to do, right? But I think it's helpful a lot of times for in the notes or action plan section for the department head to kind of put what the action plan is, really for internal purposes, so they can remember what their idea was about how they were going to tackle it.
Okay. And are you going to, is that something that you would send us, or is that something that you would prefer to stay in house?
Oh, no. No.
Send okay.
For sure. I think I sent it last Friday, but I'll resend it just to make sure. And we'll put website as well.
Was it one of the attachments for last Friday?
Yeah. One of the 243 attachments I sent you. Yes, sir.
Okay. I must have missed it. My apologies.
Hey, no worries.
All right.
And just real quick, the two things we saw first, we thought we had too many measures. And so on a staff level, we can adjust that. We want to make sure our measures are quality over quantity. And then the second issue was we set the frequency initially as having the reporting be quarterly. What we found is that doing a quarterly report for these kind of things, that's really just too small of a sample size to really get value for a lot of these measures. At the same time, we generate, it takes a lot of resources to generate a quarterly report, and it also takes up your time to where you have to come and present it. And I'm not seeing a lot of value in that. So the board's okay with that. What I'd like to do moving forward is to go from quarterly reports on this to one report mid-year and then an annual report. I think that would give the most value for the board and staff.
I agree. If you feel that's the best value for your time and staff's time, sounds good to me. Okay. Any other thoughts? Council?
Concur.
I concur. This is always the hardest, most valuable piece of running the government is this, but it's also the less sexy. So, I mean, good job. I mean, it's worth doing, and we appreciate it.
Yep, all the credit goes to our staff. I appreciate that. So, thank you.
All right, was there a second recommendation, Alex?
The first one was just focusing on more quality over quantity. As far as measures, we thought too many. I think that's something we can go ahead and really have for 2021 incorporate.
All righty. Well, thank you again, Alex. I certainly do appreciate it. I know council does too. All righty. Number five, zoning minimums from Mr. Ayers.
All right. So this is just another one of those discussion elements here. So this kind of runs on the same theme as item number three tonight with the open space and green space. Over the course of the time period that I've been coming to the meetings and also just in the time period that I've been on council, it seems like with a lot of our development agreements, the developer comes to us and they bring to us kind of the bare minimals of what's required by the ordinance. And it seems like, just again, this is my opinion, and is that we spend a lot of time negotiating with them to really get them to where we really want them to be at. And so the concern that I have is that the minimums that we have in our zoning isn't really the minimums that we really want. They're what we put into the zone. So I guess are the ordinances. So my question is there a concern? It feels to me like maybe there's an opportunity to review some of the minimums that we have in our ordinances, to see whether or not they actually meet the requirements that we really want for the town. And that comes from, again, examples that I've seen as we've discussed across not only, during councils, but when we do DA reviews and when we're approving ordinance changes, things of that nature. So I just wanted to kind of bring this up as kind of a discussion. I mean, do we need to look at kind of where we are with our zoning and how, and our ordinance from minimals, from as far as like, I mean, for an example, we felt like the yards were too close to the road for the one of the single family homes that we talked about a few weeks ago, right? We felt like they were too close together, but they met the minimal requirements. You know, even DOT had to come back and say, hey, look, this won't even work for us. We've actually got to modify this because there's not enough viewable sight line from the turnout for this neighborhood. So I'm just cautious. I mean, just concerned that maybe there's room for upping the minimal for some of our zoning requirements to a point to where we actually think that they should be, instead of where they are now and feeling like we have to negotiate with our developers to really get to where we want to be at. So that's kind of what I brought here, is just kind of a discussion, see if it's worth kind of looking through them. And if folks do feel that way, I would be more than welcome to kind of walk through the ordinances myself and kind of bring up some ideas, kind of some areas of specific topics, and bring it back to the council at a future date.
Well, I think it is a good thing to review every once in a while, Stephen. So I appreciate you bringing it up. Instead of you doing it by yourself, I was thinking as you were speaking, my recommendation was you get with David Shaw, who's the planning board liaison, Jack Hudson, the planning board chair, and Lynn, y'all four, if David's got time to do that. Each, you go through it, bring your concerns to them, y'all snowball it, spitball it, and see what you think, and then bring it back to the council. So what does everybody think of that? Is that something that makes sense, or we want to let Stephen do it all by himself?
I'm okay with that.
I think that's a good suggestion. And I'm not sure, I mean, when you say minimums, I'm not sure if it's minimums. It may sometimes be maximums too, because I assume you're talking about lot sizes, setbacks, distance between houses, that all of those kinds of things.
Well, I can kind of sit here and almost name off where we've actually been talking with the developer and go, you know, again, the density, the setbacks, the distance between houses, the minimal lot sizes, all of these questions have been asked over the time period of the last year. And like I said, it seems like we always are negotiating from those minimums. A developer doesn't typically bring us, you know, above and beyond the minimums. In some cases they do, but in most cases they start with the minimals and we move up from there. And so it's just a question as far as looking at those and making sure that those really are the minimums that we're looking at.
Well, Stephen, are you okay with that scenario I threw out and taking the leadership role in that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
I might try to leave Lynn, nothing personal, but based on what we've talked about here beforehand, try to leave Lynn kind of to the, as more of a consultant and try to keep her time focused on the priorities that we've set earlier in the call.
All right. Well, you and David and Jack, y'all figure it out. So,
all right.
Whatever works for you.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thank all right. You.
David, you got something?
Oh. It was more of a snide comment. Thank you for volunteering me.
There you go. Well, you're the planning board liaison. Didn't want you to leave you out.
I get it. I know. I was just being sarcastic in my tiredness.
Right. I'll try to get to a point that kind of at least an outline. And I'm okay just shipping it back and forth with David, and we can shoot it back and forth. And as far as meetings and whatnot, I think we can do that pretty easily.
Yes.
All righty. That's all I had. That brings us to our adjournment. I will say one thing, that the Quad had its first meeting in several months, and Indian Trail participated. They sent their town manager, and we told him that he needs to go back to his board and get the vote to participate. So we'll see if he's successful in doing that. But he enjoyed it, and he thought it was worthwhile, so we'll see. All right, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Scholl, second by Ms. Paxton. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Thank you all for your time.
Thanks. Thank you all.